This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Taking a look at the issues surrounding the health and well-being of our LGBTIQ+ communities. This is Well Well Well, brought to you by the team from Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
You're listening to Well 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 here on Joy and the Community Radio Network. And this week we are talking about, well, really all things butts and butt health. Joining me now from Happy Hole is Mark Lyons. Can I call you what's your official title? Founding CEO?
I like butt guru, to be honest.
Butt guru. That's a great title.
Self-appointed butt guru.
Self-appointed butt guru. Well, thank you for joining us on Well Well Well. Now, Mark, your journey, obviously you're very passionate about butts and butt health. Mm-hmm. Where does that journey start for you?
Well, the journey started because I developed an anal fissure, actually.
Okay.
And so that happened after some joyous but, let's say, enthusiastic sex with a partner.
Fair enough.
A few days later, I was like, oh, that really hurts. What is that? I'm on holiday in Greece having a great time. I'm like, this is new. What is this?
And for people that don't know what an anal fissure is, how did that present? Because if you didn't know what it was, I'm sure there's other people that don't.
It was just incredibly uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. What it is effectively a micro tear on your anus, and that can happen from anal sex, forceful anal sex, or it can happen even from just having a giant poo. Mm. Women get them from giving birth. You can kind of get them a myriad of ways, and they tend to hang around for quite a while. They're quite uncomfortable, and they need to be looked after properly for them to heal, obviously, because the anus doesn't...
It's soft tissue.
It's soft tissue, yeah. And it flexes fluctuates in size. So because it's always moving, it just takes time to heal. So at that point when I first discovered I had one, well, I didn't actually even know at that point what it was.
So were you getting online and trying to search for details? Is that
I went to the doctor as soon as I got back from overseas.
Yep.
And they informed me I had a fissure. And then they prescribed this over-the-counter product called Rectagesic. One of the active ingredients has nitrate in it, and it gives you blinding headaches.
Oh.
Yeah, so... and they like put this on 4 times a day. So, and it's kind of that nitrate is from the same family as what's in Amyl. So it just effectively felt like I was sniffing Amyl all day, which is very difficult to get through a work day when you're feeling like that. Because I couldn't use that particular cream, I started to do my own research. Lots of Googling, how can I find a solution that's more natural, perhaps? And then it became a quite chronic. Saw a rectal surgeon. He recommended the same cream. And he's like, just keep doing this for 6 months. It should heal up. And you're like, oh, God.
That's a long time.
It is a long time. It's a long time to have blinding headaches. So,
and during that, are you meant... What was their discussion around anal sex at all?
There was. They just, you have to abstain
for 6 months.
Yeah, because if you engage in it, you're probably going to re-tear it. There was a whole lot of psychological issues associated as well to that. I just felt really unsexy.
Sure.
I couldn't connect of the same sexual level with my partner at the time.
Oh, okay.
So it just created this, just a lot of just self-hate.
Sure.
So, yeah, so physically and mentally, it was a journey. And so,
I just... you're looking into these natural remedies.
Yeah, so looking into these natural remedies and... from that kind of discovered some ingredients that were working and some, and also some, I guess, practices that helped the healing as well, and integrated that and, eventually it healed. And so I decided that like this, you know, I know other people are suffering from this, and, you know, could there be a brand that provided better education and products around aftercare so that people can't, or people weren't left in this like unknowing state
when sure.
their ass becomes super sore.
And were you prior to this, you know, in business for yourself or a bit of an entrepreneur or?
Look, I've worked in creative industries for 20 years and I always was looking for that entrepreneurial idea, and it certainly wasn't something that I considered I would fall into. And if you'd asked me 5 years ago, do you see yourself as, you know, a self-appointed buck guru, I would have laughed it off. But you know, I guess that's the beauty of life. It kind of takes you on a journey, and I guess I've always wanted to do something where I could give back, and if I can, you know, help some holes along the way, let's do it.
So, Happy Holes now, you've got a couple of products potentially mm-hmm. going to be expanding and whatnot. But to create this first product, I mean, obviously, I'm imagining you don't have much of a chemistry background or anything like that.
No.
How do you begin to develop a product that you're going to put out in the market for butt health?
Definitely. Yeah. So how I approached it was I was lucky enough to have a friend who had started two very successful cosmetic brands.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And probably without their guidance, I wouldn't have kind of got to this point.
Yeah, right.
And they put me forward to a pharmacist that they thought were appropriate. And I kind of presented all my research. And... from there, we kind of just started trialing and testing certain things. And, you know, we went through a lot of versions. I think we got up to like iteration 11 on one of the products. And, you know, and that really came down to like the, I guess, the scent, the viscosity, and I guess the soothing aspects of the product as well. And then we went through a kind of process of, I went through a process of, okay, how am I going to test this?
Yeah, right.
You know, how do I find willing butts to put this on? So that really came about with just having dinner parties, inviting a real nice mix of people around, and after a few wines, gently suggesting, you know, perhaps... let's, you know, try something different. Why not everyone put some of this cream on their butt and tell me what you think?
So it's, I just have this like, you know, like in the 50s, we hear about like Tupperware parties. It's
absolutely. Yes, totally. And, you know, through that process got some very willing and able advocates who spread the word and their cheeks for Happy Holes.
Now, everybody that you're talking to, the pharmacist and all your friends, are they all queer themselves?
Not all of them, no.
Oh, right.
No,
okay.
So the pharmacist isn't. And I purposely, when I had these dinner parties, I made sure I had a real mix of people. And because I, you know, it's not necessarily, I don't think anal fissures are specific to, you know, queer people,
yeah.
Everybody gets a butt issue at some point. So I wanted to make sure that I had a product that was well-rounded. And yeah, just the trials worked a treat. And then after that rigorous testing, we went to market.
Right. Mm. Now, when you approached this, were you facing any, I mean, was there a bit of education, especially, I guess, for the pharmacist who isn't the queer themselves, was there a bit of education around anal sex and anal play?
There was, yes. But, you know, I think they approached it very professionally.
Yeah.
And they had been working, they'd worked on products that were on various scales. So anything from something that's needs approval for the Therapeutic Goods Association through to, you know, acute lip balm. So they had an extensive experience, and that gave me a lot of comfort. And they were very much guided by, you know, I brought the queer knowledge to the table, and they brought their, you know, pharmacist ingenuity and knowledge. So I think that collaboration was both exciting for both of us.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think we actually fed each other really well.
It sounds like a great collaboration.
Yeah, I think that kind of that opposition really enriched the process and the products.
That's very cool. Mm. You know, you've got everybody at the dinner party and whatnot, and you're saying that you're happy to talk about butts. Did you come up against any issues or people that were taken back?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yep. So, yeah, I think it was always well received. It did often take a lot of convincing, particularly some of my straight male friends, to drop their dacks and put the cream on. But once they did, they really enjoyed the, you know, I guess because one of the products, the after anal cooling cream, has this gentle tingle factor in it, so it's great for like enhancing stimulation, just because you've got, you know, all these nerve endings on your butthole, and so for them it was like quite revolutionary. They're like, oh wow, I didn't think my butt could feel so good. And kind of open them up to, you know, potentially some butt play.
So they hadn't engaged in butt play before?
No, right. No.
And they're like, hey, just
put this on and see how it feels. And they're like, oh, actually, this is really nice. I might put this on every day.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, and the menthol's in there because not just for stimulation too, like it's it stimulates blood flow, yep, which is good for healing. So it's kind of got a double.
Well, purpose. When you say menthol, the first thing that comes to mind is that could be kind of maybe too intense if you're recovering from something.
Well, so that product is more, the if you are recovering from something, I would recommend the other product.
Okay.
The sore butt soothing balm is a much more gentler product.
Okay.
It's a thicker consistency. So it creates a longer lasting barrier on the skin. So, the soothingness of it really helps kind of calm down any
inflammation,
irritation, etc.
Look, I want to chat to you a little bit more about how you navigated conversations around butts as we talk about butt health. Mm. I am chatting to Mark Lyons from Happy Hole. You are listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
From HIV to COVID-19, STIs and everything in between, you're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy and the Community Radio Network. And this week on Well, 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 we are talking all things butt and butt health. Joining me for the conversation is the founder and owner of Happy Hole, Mark Lyons. Now, Mark, before we were talking about navigating the conversation and even navigating the conversation with straight mates along the way and having friends try stuff out and developing the products that you have developed for Happy Hole. Now, you hit the streets and, you know, I actually first came across Happy Hole seeing your street posters up, and you've made a really conscious effort that the brand isn't, even though you, as you've talked about before, you're a queer man, you haven't really kind of pigeonholed it into saying who it is, but you've really kind of created it for everybody and every body, if you will. Why did you make that decision?
So I made that decision because a couple of reasons. The first being everyone's got a butt. Everyone faces butt issues at some point. The second being butts are often come with a lot of stigma and shame. So I really wanted a brand that felt approachable and playful, and that's often done with humor. So the brand has this very tongue-in-cheek kind of tone to it. And it just helps people kind of open up and share, you know, their most embarrassing butt stuff. And then, you know, I felt I also thought it was important for it to not be too specific to say gay men, because it's an obvious target market, because, you know, a lot of straight women are having anal sex. Anyone can indulge in a bit of butt play. And
100%. I have a straight friend of mine from university, and we catch up every now and then. And she was like, "Oh, I've been meaning to talk to you," because her and her cisgender heterosexual couple, and her partner have started occasionally doing anal. And yeah. She was like, so asking me all these questions from how do you prepare and all the, you know,
totally
dribs and drabs. So yeah, it's great that that's opened up conversation.
Yeah, 100%. And something that I learned recently, I went to Hong Kong for a sex product convention where a lot of the toys are made, a lot of douches are made. And there I met some of Australia's biggest sex product distributors. And something that I learned from spending some time with them was that 40 to 50% of products that they move are butt related.
Right.
So a lot of people don't know, but a lot of people are playing with their butts, but they're not talking about it. So, you know, I felt like if the brand felt, you know, cute and friendly and playful, hopefully it kind of opens up, you know, a conversation around, you know, it's okay to play with our butts or talk about our butts, because a lot more of us are doing it than we think.
So you've created this brand, and so people have found that connection and found this opportunity to talk to you about it. How do you facilitate that conversation?
Through social mainly.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of been the biggest kind of way to kind of build community at this point. I get a lot of questions through social about products. What should I do? You know, whether it's my first time or I'm kind of new to butt stuff, or it could be, you know, at the other end where it's like, you know, I'm a sex worker and, you know, the butt gets a fair workout. Are these products going to work? I can confirm they do work. The sex workers love them.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah. And also reassuring too, because, you know, you put something out to market and you think it's great and your friends think it's great, but you really need to get, you know, consumers behind it. They've really been enjoying the product. I guess there hasn't really been anything like it on the market. But, you know, people certainly are having issues with their bum.
With that being said, now that you've opened it up to so many people and a diversity of experiences and people are getting in this conversation with you, have you learned anything, or have people thrown you any kind of curveballs that you've been like, wow, I didn't even think about that when I got into this?
I'm learning all the time, to be honest. And, you know, some of the tougher questions and often misguided questions are the ones that make you sit back and think, you know, why did I do that? You know, someone commented on one of the social media ads that I had posted or had was running. Woman wrote, you know, like, if it hurts so much, then why do you do it in the first place? I was taken aback by that.
Sure.
But also, you know, an opportunity to go, you know what? Let me educate you.
Yeah.
You know, and explain to on the post that, you know, if you're denying, you know, queer people the opportunity to have but sex, then you're denying them of their, you know, their sexual identity. And, you know, like it's a lot more complex than just don't do it.
Well, and I think to be fair too, I mean, we've talked about on the show, there are a whole ranges of pelvic pain and issues with, you know, if you're thinking just straight cisgender sex, you know, their pain can be true in all orifices.
Absolutely. And be
a thing. So that seems a very narrow mind, but interesting that, yes, you know, yes, that was kind of a bias that they brought into their
commentary. Totally. But yeah, it does help reframe for me why I'm doing it, what the benefits are. I mean, you know, as you kind of mentioned, there are a multitude of issues that can arise with your butt. And for instance, a friend bought it for their five-year-old because they were complaining about their sore butt and put it on. And a few days later, their butt was in tip-top condition. And they love the packaging so much that her daughter keeps it, you know, with her trinkets and, you know, cute little dolls and stuff as a, you know, like she just, that's my butt cream and that's what cured me. So, just, you know, it's kind of nice to see that, it's not as specific to butt sex. It has that kind of range. And
well, it's interesting that you said that before, because at the start of the show, you know, you said that, you know, you can have it from sex or you can have it from just, you know, a bowel movement that's too intense and whatnot. And so it's interesting that you're sort of navigating this space where you're going to things like conventions around sex products, but at the same time, it's not explicitly a sex product, so to speak.
No, that's right.
So that's interesting.
Yeah. And that's also why, kind of going back to your question around why the brand looks the way it does, you know, it needed to have that kind of a wider appeal. I guess the way the brand looks has also attracted the likes of, say, David Jones.
Oh, right.
And so...
so they're interested.
So it'll be available online this week.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Well, hang on a second here. Like, let's take a step back. So to have, you're now kind of opening up a conversation with a mainstream retailer.
Yeah.
You know, are you, as a butt guru, are you feeling proud about the fact that you seem to be kind of kicking some goals with regard to attacking the taboo around butt stuff?
Yeah, no, it's overwhelming and super rewarding. I think that, you know, a major department store is, one, progressive enough, and two, open-minded to, I guess, facilitating a product like Happy Hole, but inadvertently kind of championing the conversation around butt play and butt holes.
Yeah.
So that's been... it's been inspiring. You know, I think you're like, if you can get a major department store to stock your product, then what's next?
Well, I want to ask about that, because obviously you got the product line and there's that aspect of things. But, you know, when I asked you about how you facilitate the conversation around butt stuff, butt health and butt play, you said initially kind of socials.
Mm.
Do you want to do work in more kind of community education, I guess, for about, is there any aspirations in that area?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that's absolutely a motivation, is to kind of build a very well-resourced educational pool of content so that people can access it at any point. And I think... you know, with David Jones becoming one of our stockists, there's more motivation to provide that information so that, you know, if they, because if, you know, I guess as the product is now available at David Jones, it might be the first, you know, interaction or exposure to butt play or, just general butthole chat. So I feel a responsibility to make sure that they, I can educate them on, you know, what it means to look after your butt and so forth.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Well, before we're running out of time here, so I want to make sure I ask you a couple other questions. But one of the things that I want to ask, you know, as an LGBTIQ person that has made that leap into a small business, you know, we've got other LGBTI people all the time, you know, trying to make a crust and have ideas and whatnot. Do you have any advice for anybody that is starting out with a business that you kind of wish someone told you earlier on?
Yes. I think you need to get used to being comfortable with feeling incredibly uncomfortable.
All right.
I think that, you know, like it's just a constant hustle and a constant slog, and you just got to get used to forever feeling like everything's out of reach because you're constantly learning, connecting with new people. It can feel overwhelming. And so you have to flip that around and make that kind of the exciting aspect of the business, because it just feels like that's something that will continue to happen as the business grows, is that sense of unknowingness, but it is exciting, you know, and it is what motivates me. That would be my advice.
Yeah, that's great. And kind of related to that, I guess, in with regard to stakeholder engagement, we talked about fostering that conversation around butt health and, you know, talking a bit more about that openly. You set out for Happy Hole to be kind of non-gendered, to be open to anyone. Do you have any indication around the people that are engaging with your brand? Is it predominantly other LGBTIQ men, or is it, who is it?
It is a real mix. Yeah. So it is, queer men, it's straight women, it's my mum who might have a hemorrhoid and she loves to put it on. Or it could be my friend's five-year-old. We're not kind of marketing to that audience, obviously, because there are some more, if we're talking about butt sex,
it's not appropriate.
Yeah. The diversity has been, it's been surprising, but not as surprising as I thought, because I think the way the brand has presented.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
And are they having a conversation with each other, I guess?
It's more with the brand at this point.
Sure.
Yeah. I'd hope that in the future, as you mentioned, you know, we can kind of host events where those people can meet, and what those themes are that they meet around is still kind of yet to be determined, but I kind of hope that the brand can facilitate that kind of conversation. Whether it's like, for instance, Happy Hole just had their first birthday, and I threw a party.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
back to where it all started, dinner party.
Pretty much. It kind of was, actually. Like a much bigger version of that. But I actually took... the accusations that I was met with when I ran street posters last year, from angry community members. And I used that as inspiration for the party. So, you know, I guess the so-called sinful aspect of the brand, informed this party that I hosted called Happy Hell, where, you know, we celebrate sex positivity and, you know, discuss, well, not so much, people were discussing a lot of butt stuff, at the party, and everyone kind of dressed up in hellish attire to, you know, pretty much celebrate my favorite sin, sodomy. that was the first opportunity to kind of bring people together in a social environment to kind of celebrate the brand, but also, celebrate or create an opportunity to just have a sex positive space of all varieties. A lot of my dinner guests that have contributed and a lot of people I've met through the industry as well.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, look, Mark Lyons from Happy Hole, thank you so much for joining us on Well, Well, Well. And I should say as well, if people kind of look it up online, you kind of have to get the spelling right. So it's H-A-P-P-I-E and then Hole, H-O-L-L. Is that right?
That's correct.
Awesome. So people can look for that. Where's your website?
happyhole.com.au.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, look, we'll also link to that on our webpage, joy.org.au/well, well, well. Thanks for joining us on the show, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Well, 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 supported by Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network. For more LGBTIQ plus health and wellbeing and much more, check out Thorn Harbour on social media at Thorn Harbour or via the website thornharbour.org.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.